from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Midnight in the Marshaverse, starring Marsha Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Skills Hudson, as the problem child.
Well, good morning, good evening, good day. Welcome to Midnight in the Marshaverse, the time where day meets night, meets tomorrow and yesterday. It is the witching hour, and I am the witch of the hour. Anyway, tonight we have a very special guest, and I'm so excited she's here. And you're going to love her, as everybody does. I don't know anybody who has a bad word to say about her. She's just wonderful, and I owe a lot of my return recognition to her being generous enough to include me on the Night Court reboot. So stick around. We're going to be talking to Melissa Rausch. And before we do that, we're going to have our regular ritual of cannabis and cognac. Since this is the time of evening and the time of day, the time of the week where we carve out a little time to just chill, to just relax and get away from all the, you know, kinds of input that we face every day where we all have something to do all the time. We have decisions to make. We even have hectic vacations. You know, we run around all day, go to work. We got to get the kids off, get the thing, get the bus, go get the car, get to work, come home, make dinner, and we have these constant things to do. And then when we travel, we have the same kind of hectic. Well, we got to get up, we got to get the car, got to get the tickets, are we going to be? And it's always some kind of drama and energy that you have to dedicate to all kinds of stimulus. And so once a week, it's really nice to just chill. I think chill time should be scheduled into the national time frame. We should all take the time to relax. And for me, I like to have a cocktail. I love cannabis and cognac. And I haven't figured out yet. I haven't tried the liquid cannabis things and poured some cognac in there. That might be interesting. But tonight, we ain't doing that. We have an AirPro vape battery, and it's proprietary cartridge. It's a sativa, but I don't know what, if it's Maui Wowie or Jack Herrera or whatever the heck, it'll do the job. Yes, that's the cannabis part. The cognac part is, once again, we're going to just do a brandy. And we're going to do a cocktail with apple brandy. I've used this about 7 times because I only use a little bit every week, and we're already down this much, so I've been doing it a lot. But tonight I'm making a cocktail I like to call Lilith Laveau's Eve's Revenge. It's one sip for women and instant power, and one sip for men, instant submission. Because I'll tell you more about how I feel about that, but I believe it's time for women to take over. In light of the election results and all that type, it's time for women to be in charge, because we cannot screw it up any worse. For some reason, the country decided to elect or to vote for Jim Crow 2.0 and make America great again by taking us back to before the Civil War. And that's going to take some getting used to. And in this segment that I usually call Comediosophy, where I try to hit subjects and talk about subjects that feed my creative spirit and my kind of activist soul. But this week, I want to talk about what's the matter with the world, Marsha? And what's the matter with the world is that we've somehow, especially this election cycle, been programmed to look for answers to as to what we did wrong, to get the election results we did. We didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. The candidate was wrong. The country fell for the okie doke and fell for all of the online misinformation and disinformation that was constant. I am a social media junkie, and the amount of just bot and troll churn that was on every site, just pushing out rebuttals to everything saying and coming up with answers that were just crazy, but fed people's need to feel superior. And we have this need, we have this, you know, competitive thing that I think comes from having men in charge. Men shouldn't be in charge because they're combative and their primary conflict resolution is violence. They celebrate warriors and you know soldiers, and we have our highest respect for people who are willing to fight to the death. Well, that can be noble at some time, I suppose, but if that's your mindset, you shouldn't be the one deciding when to use that kind of violence and power. And I think that in really civilized societies, they leave those decisions up to women who have a different mindset as life givers and creators, and as all of our goddesses. Your mother is your creator. She is your goddess. She is, you know, she is the one who brought you here. And with her kind of nurturing concern for her children, and for other women's children, we can have a more balanced approach to the inevitable disagreements and conflicts we have. And so I think we have to stop looking inside of us for what we did wrong and start looking at the people who are very good at misdirection and who want you to blame yourself so you don't see how they're manipulating your mindset. And to be quite honest, one of the basic things that I think is wrong is that we have a patriarchy, that we look to men to as God's emissaries. You know, and I when I first saw Donald Trump running for president, I recognized right away that he was a white nationalist and had the same kind of mindset as the people on the white websites I would visit just to see what they were doing, where they would have, white children in fields of white lilies with white angels and white Jesus smiling down on them. And there was no color in the picture at all, except for green grass and blue skies. And so, it seems innocuous because, you know, it's full of violins and harpsichords and people traipsing around. But the clear image is that there are no other people. And just to bring it full circle, I saw a segment on Donald Trump's cabinet. And one of the people he had appointed is from the Heritage Foundation of Russell Volk or something like that. And he said his goal was to end multiculturalism. That's insane. That's insane. We have our strength is that we have this wonderful opportunity to allow all kinds of people voice in this society and ownership of it, because we are all Americans. We are all just as invested in the outcome. And so if we just forget that some people want to end that kind of cooperation before it ever really gets started like it should, and take the opposite approach. You don't fight violence with violence. You fight it with rational reason that says you're on a collision course with yourself, and it's time for cooler heads to prevail. It's time for people who understand the benefit of taking time out of your day to relax, to consider, to just be and enjoy this wonderful country you want us all to love while you're trying to marginalize most of it. Kind of bizarre, but when you take the time to think about it and really talk about it without fear, without anger, you see it's untenable, and the only way to fight it is not to participate in it. We're just not going to do that. So I, for people who don't believe that this is possible in this country, I invite you to look up examples of Black codes that existed during Jim Crow, and just read them. Read the things that were illegal at one time, not long ago in this country, and you'll find that a lot of people hold those times dear and find them comforting and desirable, and get a new perspective into where we might be going so we can avoid that. Now that I've depressed the heck out of everybody with my comediosophy and what's the matter with the world, Marcia, it's time to have a word from our sponsors. Midnight in the Marciaverse is brought to you by Aunt Karen Suburban Seasonings, Amerilago. In accordance with the latest edict of our dork overlord, Father Daddy Trumpster de Christ, a.k.a. Jesus Jr., Midnight in the Marciaverse is required by law to only promote Trumpster-approved products, as are all subjects of Amerilago Incorporated. Thus, Aunt Karen Suburban Seasonings and Lima Bean Casserole Company is proud to announce the newest product in the Orange Glory line, Trump cards. Reasonably priced at only X amount of rubles and your soul, these new made-to-order gold-plated business cards are gaudily embossed with His Highness's name, likeness, and autograph on the front. And on the back is printed the phrase, "Get out of everything free." Available online and good for 4 years, these cards will have you taking things you haven't paid for and hiding them in your bathroom, grabbing women's privates in public, rigging elections, and even inciting riots at the White House, and then going home to sleep peacefully in your own bed, secure in the knowledge that as long as you have these cards, nobody can touch you. So get your Trump cards today. Must be fully paid for in advance, and remember to check your email for a notice of when Jesus Jr. actually acquires the means to create them. Aunt Karen is so sure you'll love them that she personally signs each pack with her new slogan, "Whatever you say, dear." It's time to introduce our guest this week. She had an idea to reboot Night Court, a show that I have some knowledge of. And I was all for it. I was excited about it and wished for the best. I had nothing to do with it. And that was all right with me, because I understand that it was a new approach to the foundation Night Court had laid. But then they asked me to be on the show. I was so excited. And so I got to meet her and get to know her in the times that we've worked together. And I'm so grateful that she decided to join us tonight. Will you please say hello to Melissa Rausch? Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? I'm so happy to see you and be here with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Now, I don't know if you drink or anything, but do you have
tonight? So here's my deal. I want to say that at some point in the future, we actually do have to drink together. But tonight, because I'm afraid I will make it weird with you and just start declaring my love for you for the next 15 minutes. So tonight, I'm just doing some lame tea. But at some point where I'm not afraid that I'm going to make a fool of myself. And
You never make a fool of yourself. There's
no, I want to do that.
Love is always good. There's not
thank you.
Too
but
much
that,
love.
That couldn't, I have to say, that apple brandy cocktail that you mixed up, that sounds fantastic.
If you want this Lilith Laveau, and if you don't understand the power of Lilith Laveau, if anybody wants this recipe, just send us a note and I'll shoot it to you personally. We can't let everybody have this.
Okay. I love this.
Melissa, why did you want to do Night Court again?
Oh, goodness. I was such a fan of it growing up, such a fan of yours. And just the construct of what this show is, the inherent DNA of the story generator of these left of center cases coming in to a Manhattan arraignment court in the middle of the night. It's endless possibilities. And as someone who I love the multicam format, and I love the beauty of those 80s and 90s sitcoms that built these workplace families that had a heart to them. And Night Court especially it felt different than anything that was on TV at the time. Everything was irreverent. And I remember my parents saying to me, cover your ears at certain jokes. But then it had these beautiful emotional pockets in these scenes. And they would sometimes go to commercial break without a laugh. And it was just always something that, even though I think some of the things at the time went over my head, just was always fascinating to me. And in wanting to do multicam sitcoms forever, this the architecture of Night Court just felt like something that should be revisited. And then just also the nostalgia and the comfort of a place that you can come to and laugh every week in a time that I feel like we all really need it. And not to sound Pollyanna about it, but I do think that there is something to it.
She gets a bad rap. We all need we need some Pollyanna in our
I agree.
But what I want to ask you is, Marky Post did a wonderful Christine Sullivan and made that character sing. And she, talk about heart, she was pretty much the heart of the show. But you didn't really gravitate to her. Your relationship is with Harry. Harry was, it seems you saw something in him that was attractive. What was it about Harry?
I had such a love and affection for all the characters, especially yourself included. And I think in just figuring out what what this version was going to be, there was something interesting about having it be the legacy of the judge's daughter to come back in and sort of figure out her own path there. And initially I didn't have any intention of playing the role. I just wanted to be behind the camera and produce the show. And it wasn't until really later on in the development process that I thought, what am I doing? I'm gonna be such a dummy if this goes and I'm sitting behind the camera watching some lucky person get to play this part. So I jumped in at the last minute, but
it's such a natural fit. It's knowing Harry and Harry was a bit of a scamp. A lot of people, yeah, because of Harry Stone, you know, who was kind of, you know, Peck's bad boy a little bit, but he was still rather sweet and all that stuff. But he had a kind of a Harry the Hat from the character he played on Cheers, had that kind of thing. But he also was a very caring, sweet guy. The first day I was on the set, he called me over and said, "How you doing?" When the first rehearsal day we were on set. And he called me up to the bench and said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm a little nervous. You know, I'm not an actress. I don't do that." He said, "I'm not either. Let's just watch those guys."
Really? Oh,
and we'll just fake it. And so from that point on, he was very welcoming and sweet. And the cast, like you said, had a heart. Reiny, our producer, creator, you know, well, Reiny had a saying, "Don't you care about nothing?" About the scripts. "Don't you care? What is it you care about?"
Wow.
And so all of the shows, and the secret to Night Court was that it did have a heart. It was wild, irreverent, you know, but all of the great shows, the zany shows, the soaps and the Golden Girls, they still had that kind of heart where people care about each other and interact that way. What's the best thing about Night Court now?
Oh, goodness. I got to say, the episode that you and I did together a few months back, we got to hug in that episode. You gave me such a great hug that was scripted. There was just a moment where, like, you're giving me this hug and we're getting to do a scene together in Harry's chambers. I'm like, well, if nothing else ever happened with this show, the fact that I got to be in Harry's chambers getting a hug by Marsha Warfield, just,
That's you, honey. It doesn't compare to getting married in court, having you marry.
Oh, that was so special.
In court. That's a highlight. You know, if I never do another one, that's a good note to end on.
That makes me really happy. That was really, really cool.
And that show, the wedding show, it hit the chronology of it, the forward and backward chronology, where they went back and revisited old relationships and spiraled over to the new future, the doors open. I thought it was just a great episode.
Thank you. You are so wonderful in it, as always. I just describe you like you are just a comedic laser when we're doing those shows together. It's just unbelievable. Just constantly just nail the lines. It's just, it's so cool to get to be opposite you.
So what's next?
See, this is me without, could you imagine if I was drinking, I would.
I need that. I'm an affection sponge. You keep pouring it. I'm okay. You know, and it's back at you. Like I said, I've told you many times that I thought the best thing about the new Night Court was that you give it heart and you give it heart. Not the show, not that you give the show its heart, and that you recognize that and weren't afraid to amplify that is the whole secret to why people have discovered it again and discovered it anew, because it's a whole new project. It's not the same show it used to be. It's just based on it. So,
that's so beautiful. Thank you for saying that.
I always said that. And I always said, you know, look at you. You know, you see you on the street. You know, that's a nice lady, isn't she pretty? And then you think about it, that at some point you said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we did another Night Court? And that thought turned into a thing, an actual thing, an actual production that employs people and feeds families and has a life. And that to me is the miracle of show business, of creation, that we can think a thought and turn it into a huge thing, you know? And I think that's something I admire greatly about you and how you did turn Night Court into the show it should be done. You know, a lot of people could have redone it, but you, it's so natural and seamless the way you've done it. And I thank you for including me in it.
Oh my gosh. We wouldn't be here without the foundation and the history of what you all did in that first incarnation. It truly is amazing to me. Like, I remember watching you on, I was such a huge Comic Relief fan, and I would VHS tape all the Comic Reliefs, and I had your stand up on there. And I just, like, whenever you're on set, it just, it's a true dream come true getting to, well, to work.
Thank you. Now, let me ask you, have you, or would you ever play like a bad guy?
Yeah. I'd like to. That's
for
sure.
What kind of character would you, just, you know, we're just making this up, just a bad Melissa?
Goodness, yeah. And I think that would be super fun. I anything that I feel like would feel like I'm being pushed out of a comfort zone is exciting to me, for sure.
I think I have to think about that. Maybe
is this a buddy comedy for me and you? Should we do it?
I don't know. Maybe I'll just sit in the back and produce and produce this show. Would you stay here for a moment and meet my sons?
I'd love to. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You, mom to mom. My sons are different, but they're lovable. And they would be right at home in Night Court. First of all, my oldest son, the one who looks just like me. I think he looks a little like his dad, but he looks like, anyway, he's a stand-up comedian. I met him a long time ago. Well, I met my son again a long time ago with the Ring Prior, and he's produces my one-woman show, The Book of Marcia, and he's here right now. Would you please welcome my son, Stephen Roberts.
Hey, Stephen.
Hello. How are you? How exciting to have you here. Let me tell you something. My husband is a huge fan of yours.
Oh, that's so nice. Huge. What's your husband's name?
Yes, his name is Joseph.
Hi, Joseph.
Oh, he's going to be so excited.
That's okay, so before nice. We get really any deeper in this love, in, let me bring out my youngest son. My problem child, who I love the most. I'm sorry, I love you equally, but he needs me to love him the most.
That's true.
And so, would you please say hello to the one and only Skills Hudson?
Hey!
Say hi, Melissa.
Hey, Melissa, what up, hello? Oh, great, man. I love your work.
Oh,
love your work.
And I,
and
nice.
I want to thank for giving mom her flowers, because when we try to give her flowers, she always try to throw them back. So I love her, giving her such true flowers.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I just want to throw the bouquets at her all day long.
Thank you so much. But before we turn it over, John Larroquette. Mm. John Larroquette is a big softy.
He is.
He has a gruff exterior, but he's a big softy. How does it feel to work with him?
Oh, goodness. It's wonderful. It's really, really wonderful. Like you said, he's such a softy. He's got such a big heart. And you know, it's special. I think Abby, my character's relationship with Dan Fielding is very much this surrogate father-daughter relationship, and based in their shared love for her father. And as Abby and Dan's relationship has grown into this very special relationship, so too has my relationship with John. And I just have such a deep affection for him, and just love him so much. He's such
likewise.
A great
guy. He's intimidating to work with, because when I got on the show, he had just been nominated for his like 11th Emmy, and had so many that he just took his name out of contention. And so being on the set with him and learning from him, like Harry told me to do, was a huge part of my growth as a performer.
He adores you so much. And I got to say, one of my most favorite, in addition to that hug in the last episode that we shot together and set, one of my favorite moments ever before a live studio audience was in season 1, when you came out, the audience didn't know that you were going to be on that episode. And you came out and it was John. It was when he went off to Louisiana, his character, to pursue his dreams of becoming a judge. And you walked into the courtroom. And I was watching the audience as you come in. I was trying to watch you and trying to watch the audience at the same time. And we've had people in the audience who are, you know, hardcore OG Night Court fans who come back every week. They didn't know you were going to be there. And I saw these people in the audience go, "Oh my God, it's Marsha. It's Roz. Oh my God." And there was tears and there was an electricity in the air. We were all welling up with tears just watching that reunion. And it was, I'll never forget it. It was so special.
I was scared to death to be on that set, to come out, and you know, the way it was constructed, that the whole show went on with no idea I was there. And so I got this one moment to walk out and let be whatever it is. And it was just so surreal.
It was amazing. They erupted and it was, oh gosh, so special.
That was very special. And the other special was to have John walk me down the aisle.
Oh,
I thought that was like the cherry on the sundae.
Makes me so happy. I love that moment too.
I have a question about that.
Okay.
So enter Roz into the storyline, and we get to have, and I mean, when I say get, I really do mean it. We get to have a LGBTQ wedding without a lot of fanfare about that. It's just what it is. What was the conversation? Marsha, were you involved in it? What was the conversation that had this become? And if Marsha wasn't involved, what was the conversation that said, yes, a lesbian wedding? Absolutely.
Well, we knew that the season 1 finale ended in this bachelorette party for Roz. And so we had this seed of that was something that was in her orbit. And then as we were constructing what the season 2 finale would be, we were really, it was an idea that that really started the beginning of season 2 of like, this is a direction that we want to end the season in. To have Roz get married. And it was just that just like, as you said, that conversation, it was very important that it wasn't a million lanterns being hung on that it was a lesbian wedding. Wanted to be a wedding. And this is who Roz is marrying. And just very matter of fact, as it should be.
I loved that. And was so grateful for that, that it the show wasn't about the lesbian, it was about the wedding. Mm-hmm. And I just felt really special and that it was a special way to make that point without making that point.
That
you know what
so
I mean?
Happy that
it made a difference and people noticed. And I think that people really like it when we get to be treated just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know,
my community of people,
my goal, you know, we tend to segregate our entertainment. We tend to segregate everything. And it's always been my goal to entertain Americans. You know, I want young people, old people, white people, black people, in wheelchairs, people with, I don't want to just entertain one segment of this society. And a show like Night Court that is inclusive and familial and cooperative, even when there's chaos thrown at them, I think is important just for that acceptance of a show that takes place in this multicultural melting pot that we all live in. And so, Gills, do you have a comment, a question?
Yes, I had a question. Just basically the journey from when you first came up with the idea to want to reboot the show to you know, and going your direction. What would you say was the time frame, just a roundabout time from you coming up with the idea to, okay, now we're about to shoot it?
It was quite a while. I had gone to Warner Brothers to sort of campaign for the IP for a while. And they had said that they would hear a pitch from us, and that it wasn't necessarily, they weren't handing over the keys to the kingdom to us by any means, but they would hear the idea. And that was maybe January 2020. And then the pandemic happened. And so we were then pitching the show over Zoom during the pandemic. Everyone was in lockdowns. And so that was all, like, all throughout 2020, developing it, writing, you know, the pilot, all of that. And then I think we ended up shooting the pilot in 2021. It was like the first time that I had really gone out of the house. I remember, like, I showed up on that set and I had a new baby. I hadn't seen humans. We're all masked. And I didn't know how to interact with people. I remember going on the set like, oh, you're humans and I'm talking to you in person. And then a lot of our crew, because everyone was masked, I didn't see until the show was picked up what the bottom half of everyone's face looked like. And then also the studio audience, that was really interesting because we knew we wanted to have an audience, but it was still during social distancing time. So we didn't have a full audience. Everyone was sitting in chairs on the floor, like socially distanced from each other. It looked like a hospital waiting room. It wasn't a full audience. So that was 2021. So it was, I mean, it was quite a bit. It was a couple years before it got off and running. And then it was really great in the, I think by second season, then everything seemed that moment that I was talking about when Marsha came out for the first time, there was still plexiglass up in the audience. It was like almost like a hockey rink at that point because they had that separation. But so it was a bit of time.
So now you have your core. Do you have your final cast, the cast that gelled? Like on the original Night Court, we had two deaths and a lot of people who were in the pilot weren't in the final show. So by the fourth season when I came on, that's when we got the Night Court cast that people tend to remember. You got your cast now?
Yeah, it feels, you know, that this season feels really strong and everything seems to be really firing on all cylinders. And it's exciting. I think I just saw the cut for the episode that we just did together, and it's wonderful. And then I know we have another one coming up together, right?
Yeah.
Next week. And it's just really
thank you much. Well, everybody now has such a distinct and warm and funny personality. They're Wendy, Nyambi, Gary, everybody has their own special sauce.
Really cool.
It makes a really, really good final dish.
It's Melissa, so trendy. You and Lucretia together in
Lucretia,
that.
Lucretia, she did the show. How could I miss, you know? I'm so happy to tell her, to give her big hugs and tell her, you know, I hope this show does for her what it did for me. I hope the show does for you what it did for us all. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that you came to spend time with
us. And so are her sons. We are so happy that she gets to do this again, because we've seen her heart sing and her face light up, and everybody wanted to see her do this again on her comeback. And it was just perfect timing. And we just are so proud of Marsha, our mom. We really, we're so proud.
Thank you. And I, this is, we're taping this before Thanksgiving. You and your family, because the people don't know, Nine Courts a family affair. You and your family are doing this together. And so all the best to you and your family. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Holiday.
I'm very, very thankful for you, and that I get to be, that I get to work with you and to be talking to you on this. It's so amazing. So thank you. I'm the one
who's more than mutual, and you're welcome here anytime. And we're so grateful to have you. And I will see you next week.
I'll see you next
week.
Brand
new show. All right, honey. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. So nice to meet you guys. I'll see you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye bye. What a nice, she's such a nice lady, you know, and it's so much, people don't realize, it's so much on a producer's shoulders, you know, when you're doing a show, a weekly show, you got to turn out every week and you got to turn out a whole production. That's a lot on anybody's shoulders. And she makes
and
it look
easy. And to be in it too.
She makes it look easy. And it works smoothly. And, you know, I'm just grateful that you made time to come here and be with us.
My husband's family is joining us for Thanksgiving here at our house. We are at this very moment brining our turkey. We just, right before I sat down for the podcast, we had just made the brine, and Joseph was putting the turkey in the cooler in a big vat of brine. And my son just got here about an hour ago. He drove all the way from Albuquerque.
Wow. Hi, and son. Tell him I say a hat. That's what
I will. I will tell him. Yeah. Okay. And we're having a couple of friends over as well. So.
Okay. Well, enjoy.
Thank you.
Is this a regular ritual, or will it be a regular holiday ritual from now on?
Well, I hope so. And we just moved into this house 2 years ago, and we had to redo the entire kitchen and dining room. So we have not christened the dining room with an actual meal yet. And so that's what we're going
to do. Yeah, because I haven't been over to have one.
No, you haven't. And I am so ready to serve you guys. But I said, because of all the help that his parents have given us over the years, I said that his parents were going to be the first people to be served a meal in our home. And so we're doing it over Thanksgiving. And yeah, maybe we will make this a tradition. It depends on how they feel about my cooking.
Okay, well, I haven't had it yet, so I don't know. And,
fair enough.
But I'm willing to give it a shot.
Well, we're using Aunt Karen's stuffing mix.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good.
In a can.
With napalm. Skills, what are your plans for the holiday?
Well, my plans, besides FaceTiming with my love, hey, Christy.
Hey, what's her name?
Christy.
Okay, Christy. Now, one more time. We want to make sure you get it right.
Christy. Don't ask me how to spell it.
Hey, Christy. I met her. Well, we met her, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So my plan is, I believe I'm gonna be coming to eat at your house, Mom, and then
you believe that?
That's the ritual.
Oh, baby, you're always welcome, and you're not the only vegan in the group or vegetarian, so we will have you covered. Have you covered. No problem. Given that we're talking about Thanksgiving, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, what is it you're thankful for? Skills.
Thankful for.
Yeah.
I am I am thankful for good people. Good people that when in the face of everything that's going on in the world right now, and it's still good people that I still run to daily. You know what I'm saying? That keeps me like, you know, when I'm feeling, especially lately, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had a situation with my phone last week, so I wasn't able to tell y'all, you know what I'm saying? I lost money on the Tyson fight, and you know what I'm saying? And I was mad also because Tyson, you know, he supports Trump like a motherfucker, and then, you know what I'm saying? And I still supported him, but I was like, just one more time, tight. One more time, tight. And then I lost money because it went from $50 to $100 on the bet because I only had bet at 50 until I seen Jake Paul stepped on his foot right before the fight and he got angry. I was like, oh shit, I gotta bet 50 more because angry old man get his foot stepped on. I know Tyson about to really whoop his ass. But then when I see him come out there with that knee brace toe, I'm like, what the fuck? Wait a minute. That knee brace wasn't in none of the videos. Wait a minute. Oh, shit.
Okay. Here come Papa that, with the game.
Yes. Yes. But, so that overlap.
You talk about love and that. Show us your logo on your shirt.
Oh.
That's your love?
Yeah.
That's your heart?
Yes, and all the right. Bottom is open because that's the love that I give out.
Oh.
And if anybody out there doesn't know skills, that is real.
Yeah.
That is real. This guy has the biggest heart.
Oh, like I said, skills, that is real.
That is real. He's also an asshole.
Yeah, So what are you thankful for besides your asshole brother?
I've always been very thankful for my asshole brother.
Your big asshole.
Take that a lot of ways.
Anyway,
but let's just take it as value. You mean your love of skills in a platonic sense. Okay. What else are you thankful
skills
for?
Skills is cracking himself up. We didn't hear any of that.
Oh, you didn't hear that.
What did you say?
No, I was talking over you.
I said because Ed, your big asshole.
Why did you make me go back to that?
Well, you would know, Skills. You would know.
Okay.
Okay. What am I grateful for? What am I thankful for?
Because we're going to probably cut that part out. Okay. So let's get to the back to
we never showered together.
Soap falling is somehow in my brain. Anyway, what are you grateful for?
Well, I am grateful. This holiday season, the theme really is Joseph's parents. I'm very, very grateful for all the love and support they've shown us. And it was not always easy for them. Early on in our relationship, and yet they stuck in and they stuck with us, and they've always helped us no matter. They've never thought twice about helping us as a younger couple and supporting us. Now they are the grandparents to our dogs. And, you know, speaking of grandparents, you know, they don't have any grandchildren officially, but they do have a step grandchild, my son. And from the very, very beginning, they were open armed with him and love him. And so, you know, they're just great, great people. They have done so many nice things for us and so many supportive things. So it's really about his parents, honoring our parents.
Well, that's nice to hear. I am grateful for you. I am grateful for a second bite at the show business apple. I am grateful that people who I admire, like Melissa, like John, like many of the people I've been fortunate enough to work with before I retired and after, some of the most notable names in the business. I am grateful that they have always embraced me. They have always given me more credit than I give myself. And I was just shown a clip of young comedian named Ada. What's her last name? Ada Osman. And she said that I had inspired her, and that the things I did in my youth somehow resonated with her. And she was in the dressing room that Sherry dedicated to me, which, again, it was beyond anything I could imagine when it happened. And still, I am amazed that my pretty selfish journey to establish myself as a comedian resonated with people across generations, and the audience acceptance, and just all of the people who have surrounded me and supported me, and not just here, not just you. And I don't mean to diminish anything about you. I gravitated to you and held on to both of you from day one, and you love me back. And just to have people in my life at times when I don't believe in myself, to have them believe in me, and to have a wife who said, I will handle dinner. I will take care of that. You go ahead and do you. That's just such a luxury that I can't take for granted, and that she loves me is enough to be grateful for, and everything else is just an abundance of cherries on top, and I thank you both. So,
wait a minute. You got to name a bunch of things. We only got to mention one thing.
I tell you what to mention.
I'm thankful for this that Angie made plug.
Okay. That you like that butter, huh? What scent was that?
Huh?
What scent was that?
I forgot the scent, but it smelled good.
Yeah. Angie makes my wife, Angie, if you watching don't know, she makes creams and butters for personal friends and for Skills. It takes the ash, if y'all understand what we're talking about, the ash off, and gives him that nice color so the old ladies don't walk up to him with lotion in their hand and go like that, because we
bring me your knees. That. Give me those we ashy knees.
We come here, boy.
What? Who says that?
Your ashy elbows.
And you know this move right here. Now, I want to encourage people right now in this universe, a kind of cosmos thing, to not be depressed, not be down, to keep a positive attitude, and to understand that your worth and your value are so necessary, and it's necessary that you understand the fullness of who you are. And when you're feeling like, you know, things are bombarding you, and you feel lesser than, you feel like your voice is not being heard, you feel like you don't know where to go and what the resources are, understand that you are more than enough, and you are exactly what we need. My mother always said, it's a poor dog can't wag his own tail. And so keep wagging, keep your head up, keep your sense of self and your worth. Keep that uppermost in your mind, and don't let the outside forces diminish you, because right now we need you at full strength. And so just remember, it's a poor dog can't wag his own tail. You know, I have a thing for Black History Museums. And I think now, at this point, they are so necessary. Have you ever been to a Black History Museum, Skills?
Yeah, Yeah, I just performed at one in L.A. A month ago. With DeJuan I'm horrible with names.
Okay, but that one. We'll figure it out. We'll figure that one out.
But it was, I know it was a lot of black artifacts in there.
Okay, well, that's pretty much a staple of Black History Museum.
I do remember this, Mom. Can I say this one thing, Mom? I remember this. Okay. It was a thing about a tree up in there.
Okay. Trees are important. We all need
neighborhood trees. You touch the tree that the neighborhood used to touch, like everybody.
Okay, and somewhat like the stump that you rub at the Apollo. You know the good luck stuff.
Yeah.
It's that kind of folklore kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been to a Black History Museum?
I haven't. I haven't. I'm waiting to get to a city. Hell no.
I would suggest if you wanted to take a trip, you know,
go to Washington D.C.
Go to the National Museum of African American History and Culture.
So when I was in D.C. last, they were still building it. We were so disappointed we didn't get to go yet. But I've listened to you describe that place, and I am so ready to go.
Yes, and make sure that you give yourself enough time, and then enough time to go to, you know, D.C. is full of museums. So there are all kinds of other places you can go. But if you only go to one African-American History Museum, that's the one to go to.
That's the one we'll do when we go back on a vacation. We will, and any Smithsonian, you can spend a whole day in there. So we would give that museum a whole day.
Yeah. You could spend a couple of days. I found out that the first Black History Museum in the country was the College Museum at Hampton University. And it's still there. It's still growing. They're closed for renovations right now, but they are still in existence. And if you go to their website, which we will leave a link in the comments and descriptions, if you go to their website, you can see their archives. You can see their exhibits. You can see exactly what it's about. That's one I look forward to visiting. If you want to know about Black History Museums and which ones you might want to visit, there's a link to Black Museums.org that has all listings of all of them in the country, or at least enough to get you started. And so, like I said, I've been to the Wright Museum, the Schomburg, the DuSable, the Jazz Museum, the Negro League Baseball Museum, and on, but there are so many more museums and historical sites that I'd like to visit. So if you're interested, take a look and see which ones you might want to go to. We also have a playlist every week of music to groove by. I think this week I will have a special in honor of Stephen Thanksgiving playlist that will accompany this show so that it is not necessarily hitting the holiday on the head, but it's nice music to play while you prepare dinner and have your meal. So look for that in the comments.
I'll be playing it.
I hope so. And what are you doing? What are you doing? Is that, what is that, bacon grease?
No. Bacon grease.
Yeah, you know how they run out of Vaseline and Royal Crown. You go in there and get that can off the stove. Yeah. Now you smell like a pork chop. Where are you going to be this week, Stephen?
I'll be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club Wednesday, Wednesday and Friday, and then on Saturday I'll be at Wise Guys.
Okay.
In the Arts District.
All righty. And what are you doing?
He's making fun of me.
We're so glad to have you back, but we still don't know what the hell you're doing.
With his neck. I love how his neck.
Okay. Why you?
Do you love that? Is that what you love?
Why are you doing impressions of your brother? Where are you going to be this week?
I'm going to be high. Oh, I'm going to be.
That we knew that.
Oh, no. Let me tell you one more thing.
What are you drinking? No, what are you drinking?
This is Casamigos.
Okay. And you drinking it straight?
At the bottom.
Straight. Just like my mama taught me.
Somehow I can see in your past family members with a brick of Rickies in their back pocket, huh? Huh? Ooh. Right? Yep. If you don't know what a brick of Rickies is, it's a pint of Richard's Wild Irish Rose, often wrapped in newspaper. I swear.
All travel.
Yes. So where are you going to be this week?
I will, Friday, I will be at Jimmy Kimmel's for my show Those Skills Friday, and then Sunday and Monday with Lou Mel, Jimmy Kimmel's.
All right. And I will be banging in Bowie, or is it Bowie? It's Bowie, Maryland, with Joe Claire. We're going to be banging with Monique Lattice and Mike Bonner, I believe. We are going to be there this Saturday. And then coming up on December 13th, I'll be in Chicago at Ameristar Casino with Damon Williams. And so also, I'm going to LA to shoot another Night Court. Yay. And, still keeping on, still plugging on. And we will be back next week from wherever we are. We will get together and do this one more time, whether you like it or not. So if you like it, like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. If you want to know how to make Lilith Laveau's Eve's Revenge, drop us a note. I'll send it to you on the low, because we don't want everybody knowing our secrets, ladies. We sisters of Jesus have to protect our potions so that we can always keep the upper hand. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you so much, Melissa. Come back again anytime. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Skills. I love you both.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mom.
Happy Thanksgiving to Happy Thanksgiving to us all. And to all, a good night.
Like, share, comment.
She got away, no one can do it like that. Her own style, no one can wear that hat. Hey, don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to strength, she comes to mind. Get down, she gets back.